Good day to you, listeners. This is Dennis Wisco here. You know, I started Wisco Weekly back in November of 2017, and to my surprise, I recently saw a list of episodes that have been listened to or downloaded this month in June. And I do apologize, I've been traveling, so I haven't published as many episodes this particular month. However, I was pleasantly surprised to see how many listeners have actually tuned into episodes that were published literally weeks after the first episode ever launched. One of the episodes in particular titled Dealers as Customers, SEO Metrics, Dealers Got Ideas, that is the full episode title, which you can see I was really bad at titling episodes. Anyhow, that was like the second or third episode ever published, and that still gets listened to till this day. And even, you know, even if you were to go back to those episodes, I think I was using a Blue Yeti USB microphone, which it's a good microphone, but certainly I've upgraded all of my equipment, and I've had a lot of people ask also about the kind of equipment I use and if they should get started, what should they use. And I will just say quickly, use an XLR microphone, look into that rabbit hole, and that will take you into a whole new world of professional level recording. Anyhow, so back then in the early stages of this podcast, I wasn't sure who was listening to the show. It was probably friends and family and colleagues of mine, and they probably shared it and the audience started growing. And if you fast forward to today, you know, I want to give a shout out to a couple or these pockets of listeners in some particular cities, specifically to my listeners in Clifton, New Jersey, and Short Hills, New Jersey. Never heard of those cities before. Apparently they're fairly close by, as I saw it on Google Maps. So to the listeners in Clifton, New Jersey, and Short Hills, New Jersey, thank you for tuning in regularly. Also in Litchfield Park, Arizona, thank you for listening. West Hartford, Connecticut, thank you for listening. So there's a pocket of listeners over there, and I do appreciate you tuning in regularly to the show. I do hope that one day we will be able to meet, and hopefully that day may come soon, as myself and Kelly and Rudy have talked about putting on some kind of event. So we'll see. Dun dun dun. Also, there is literally one or two subscribers in each of these cities in the state of Michigan. Michigan, you know, shout out to Michigan, because again, while there's not a huge amount of listeners over there, there's again one or two that are constantly tuning in. And specifically in the cities of Bloomfield Hills, Royal Oak, Willis, Canton, Ann Arbor, Howell, Rochester, Burton, New Baltimore, Mason, Clinton Township, Warren, Plymouth, Kalamazoo, Troy, Northville, Fenton, Byron Center, Farmington, Detroit, and Trenton. So the one or two of you that have been tuning in regularly, thank you for your ears. And I would be remiss if I did not give any California love to all the listeners in my home state. You are a big reason why the show continues to progress and grow and expand. So thank you, thank you, thank you, California. Coming up is an episode that Kelly and I recorded at Thought Leadership Summit in Marina Del Rey, California. At this summit, there were about 150 attendees, mostly representing automakers and tech companies getting involved in the automotive space. There were digital marketing vendors and dealers and the like at this event. This recording features Austin Ledgerwood of Cover Genius. Kelly and I had wanted to get a greater understanding of the concept and the business model of the pay-per-mile model that insurance companies are adopting, and it will slowly, and if anything, it is already making its way throughout the automobility space. So that was of particular interest to us. So anyhow, let's get into the show.
You are now tuned in to the Wisco Weekly Experience.
Chicka brown, chicken brown cow listeners. Hello, welcome to another episode of Wisco Weekly, We are recording live in Marina Del Rey, California, and right beside me is always good friend, producer, and co-host, Mrs. Business Lady, Kelly Cruz. Miss Kelly Cruz, how are you, girl?
Doing well. Got through the LA traffic and made it up here.
God,
and,
that was a nightmare, wasn't it?
A little bit, but at least we had some good company.
We had some good company, but you were just chilling in your passenger seat while I was suffering through all that traffic driving up here. So
absolutely,
we're trying to do something about it. You know, part of what we're trying to do with that traffic, Kel, is, you know, we're up here at the Thought Leadership Summit. There's a lot of great conversations being had. Unfortunately, while there's always talks of connected cars and connected technologies, no one is specifically addressing traffic congestion. And so hopefully that's something that we're going to be able to bring to this conversation with Thought Leadership Summit. However, here on this episode, we're very, very lucky to feature the head of strategic partnerships for CoverGenius. He is a gentleman who has actually been involved quite heavily in the automotive space. In a lot of ways, you can say that he's worked for the one company that you either loathe or you love, and that's Cox Automotive. Now, nonetheless, he has been with them for quite a while. He had some time with FlexDrive. FlexDrive is also here at Thought Leadership Summit. But now in his new role at Head of Strategic Partnerships at CoverGenius, he is pioneering the way insurance is done in the automotive and automobility space. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show Mr. Austin Ledgerwood.
Hey, how are you guys? Thank you for having me.
Happy to have you. Thanks for the time.
So, Austin, before we get started, Austin, how can people follow you?
Absolutely. So the best way is at CoverGenius via Twitter, and I believe we have an Instagram as well. And then also through LinkedIn, really simple, Austin Ledgerwood at LinkedIn. I haven't set up that fancy Twitter yet.
It is a fancy Twitter. You know, by the time you set up your fancy Twitter, there might be another social media channel to sign up with.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, I was like, well, should I be on Snapchat and be throwing out random stuff? But LinkedIn is probably the easiest way right now.
And listeners, I'll throw up his contact info on the episode page. Well, there's one thing in the automobility space that is certainly being talked about more and more. And I particularly like the topic because it starts to dive into how cities and states and counties may view how they will monetize drivers these days. So on the insurance side of things, there's a new business model that's coming around, and or maybe it's not new. Again, this is what we're going to try to clarify. It's the pay per mile model. So Austin, I was hoping that to start with, you can help define what is the pay per mile model according to an insurance company.
Absolutely. So as you alluded, you know, pay per mile is a new proposition that's being offered by various insurance providers. But if you really think about it, it's been around for a very long time. All of the insurance quotes are based off of the vehicle, the individual, and then they're based off of risk limits that you would set, liability limits. So all that's really in the sense, because one of the main questions that you're asked is how many miles do you drive a day? How many miles is for work? How many for leisure? So a lot of that is already baseline there. The new proposition for per mile is really around the subscription models, the peer-to-peer sharing models like Turo, GetAround, where it's much more of someone ebbing and flowing within a vehicle and having it more shaped around that actual usage versus all the other different factors that come into play when you're determining insurance. So for example, as you mentioned, I worked with FlexDrive, great subscription platform. A lot of theirs is based on how that car is used, because there's times where the car is sitting on a dealer's lot, or there's times where the car is actually being driven in a rideshare scenario. So you have to have that varied coverage to come in for the individual when they're doing something or when they're driving that car. And I say doing something, that's kind of a generic dumb way of putting it, but when they're driving for Lyft or driving for Uber or for Uber Eats, you wanna have coverage for that specific time and that specific distance. So a lot of it's not really retroactive, but it is an accumulation total. So it's always really been there. It's now that you have these new models where people go in and out of a car, that you really see a per mileage structure being set up.
And one of the biggest arguments for pay per mile is kind of the differentiation that you said. It's that when the car is not being used in a traditional insurance company, when you're paying a monthly premium, well, you're paying for insurance for a car that's just sitting idly at home or at work, whereas in the pay per mile model, you're obviously only being charged as you're driving those miles. Although I think one of the things that I've always been stuck on is that how does the monetization though work on that?
So I would look at it from a standpoint of right now when you go to purchase traditional insurance and you're doing the 12-month policy where you make a payment monthly or quarterly or even all at once, you're buying that blanket coverage for the car at all times. So for this value prop, the revenue, it's really set up from a standpoint of how do I protect the individual as they need. So great examples through subscription. If I want to drive a Dodge Caravan this week, the subscription rate for that is going to be less than when I decide to get into a Porsche for the weekend.
I see.
So you have to have that variability in it now, because also a lot of the subscription platforms don't take credit into account, which most of us know from experience. When you purchase your auto insurance, they pull your credit. So really the per mile is more of the supplier model, where if I'm putting my car on Turo, I'm supplying that car there. So either myself or the user is really going to pay in the per mile situation there. For fleet, you know, where they say insurance is included. Several subscription platforms have it to where that cost is built in. So you can charge the supplier less or more based on how the car is being used. So it's less about the individual, you know, Dennis getting the car. It's more about this car was being used and here's how it was being used.
And is it more retroactive? So how do you, when you are using this pay per mile model, is it you drive the car and there's some way, or you have to communicate the miles used in that month and then you get charged after the fact, or you're trying to estimate up front and then there's some credit if you don't use all the miles? Or
so it's really, it is an accumulation, and it is towards, you know, a month end, we saw that you drove this many. And that's where a lot of the subscription platforms, I talk about them a lot because I have a lot of background with them. They have telematics installed in the vehicles, so you have the ability to track. It'd be the same premise if I were a rideshare company like Lyft or Uber, to where I know how far they drove at that time while they were on the app or using the app. You know, I believe there's a period where you've accepted a ride and you're driving to that person to go pick them up. So they can actually track during that time the cost associated with insurance. So that's really where the per mile has come in a stronger play. For myself, I own my vehicle. Per mile may or may not work for me. There's a couple companies out there, but for myself, I have to be concerned about that vehicle when it's sitting in the Whole Foods parking lot. I have to be concerned for when it's sitting in my driveway. I have to be covered, because it's mandatory first, mm-hmm, for that vehicle. Whereas in the per mile, it's really, I keep hitting on it, it's that gets back to the usage piece of when somebody's actually performing some using the vehicle.
Now, is that also to suggest that, I mean, people can run into an instance where the car is parked on the side of the street and their car gets hit, and it's like, well, that car wasn't being used, but it was involved in an accident. How does that pay per mile model fit into that type of scenario, or is there something supplemental?
There's either something supplemental, or they can have it to where the liability claim is active when someone's driving it. So if you know someone breaks into your car, you obviously want to have protection on that. It still goes back to the supplier side though. So the supplier needs to think about, what coverage do I want in that vehicle if it is sitting on the street? So if somebody subscribed for a week and from the hours of 10 p.m. to 7 a.m., the car is sitting in a parking garage or on the street, the supplier wants to protect that asset. The consumer is paying for it in sense because it's part of their subscription, but it's more for the, I'm trying to think how to phrase this, the supplier they want to have coverage. It's no different than when a lot of dealers put cars on subscription and a lot of dealers put cars into the Turo platform. They have a garage policy that covers that asset while it's sitting on their lot. As soon as it comes off the lot, the garage policy doesn't cover. So then you have a play for insurance to start at that moment and to end at a certain moment. So the supplier wants the asset, just like you and I, when we own our cars, to be covered all the time. As the user, you only need it during certain times, and it's during that week that I got a car.
And so I've used Turo before. Turo offers their own insurance, but let's say in the case of CoverGenius, you guys, you know, I could opt for CoverGenius's insurance policy then, as opposed to not opting into what Turo has to offer?
So here's one of the great things about CoverGenius is that we have an extremely dynamic API that collects the data from the platform and then will return the right product. So for us, we would be integrated with Turo. So you would have the experience on Turo powered by CoverGenius. For a lot of companies, Turo has a pretty good setup, but for a lot of companies, you need to get insurance, you go and you fill out a form. We talked with a company today to where I looked at their insurance offering, and if I wanted to procure my own insurance using their service, I have to fill out this sheet, for lack of a better word, online, and then they sell that information off or offer that information off to other insurance companies. So it kind of goes back to, if you put out a lead on autotrader.com or cars.com that, hey, I'm really interested in a Jeep Wrangler, you're going to have 50 dealerships send you an email. It's the same philosophy in that, to where some of the these new ownership alternatives and new platforms like Turo, they'll put your information in, an agent or somebody calls and contacts you with it. The huge value prop for CoverGenius, obviously I'm biased because it's fantastic, but it's all that information is provided to you within the experience. So you don't have to go outside and wait for somebody to contact you or just get a generic quote. You get coverage specific to you. So it can take in all the factors that are with an individual and create the ideal product.
Is the product available to individuals, or you're only currently selling to large companies?
So it is it's the weird mix where it's offered to individuals, but via their platform is the ideal piece. We do have rentalcover.com, which is really focused on the rental cars, which can still be applied to a lot of the different P2P and the car sharing platforms. But for our true design is to be integrated in a platform's experience. And it's really about providing that sticky experience. You know, we're looking and partnering with a couple different digital retailing that's been a hot topic here today. And it's really, if you think about it, when you can go to Carvana or any of these different groups and I can do all the purchase, all the vehicles, then I have to go get insurance somewhere. Mm-hmm. So if I have a negative experience there, why would you bring that negative experience back to your great experience if somebody got to transact exactly how they wanted? So I got a little off topic there, but that's really the true design for us in the mobility space, is to be part of that experience of someone's platform.
It doesn't matter, though, you know, you had drawn the example of where you would have a Dodge Caravan versus a Porsche, and those have different multipliers, for instance, of a pay-per-mile model, right? So does it matter, though, how many people would be in the car then?
There is a higher cost associated. The rental car companies would go through the same things in some respects. It's because they have volume to where it can change that per-mile cost way down. But there's a lot of different factors you take into place with that. There is an unknown on who's in that car. Because when I go on to Turo or I go on to FlexDrive or any other new ownership alternatives, that's a great way to phrase that, I'm putting my information in to be a part of their platform, not to be a part of that car. So whatever I'm driving isn't necessarily reported back to the insurance company, hey, Austin was in this Porsche at this time. It's under the blanket assumption that here's the range of all the different drivers. And you could have somebody, we'll take into account that you have somebody with an 800, and we have somebody that takes into account with, I don't know what the bottom is, 200, 100?
somebody has a 200, they got a problem.
But that 200 person is somebody who can't go get a traditional car.
Yeah.
So I'm more.
I can't do a lot of things.
No kidding. Yes. But they're that target. You know, there's a target there because there are bad stuff happens. So there are some folks where bad stuff happens, and you know they still have a credit card and they still make money each week. They just can't go get a car because their interest rate's going to be, God, 200. You got to figure it's 35%.
They'll have a record-breaking interest rate.
Yes,
there's no doubt about
yes.
that.
I'm sure they're out there.
Just take Uber or Lyft at that point.
Yeah, at some point that cost goes the other way.
Yeah, they might just have to resort to public transportation at that point.
Right.
But at the same time, you have to take into account of all the various people that could be in that bucket because they're not pulling credit. So, you know, there's certain determinants they can do with a soft credit pull, you know, based on their geographic location. But I know, for example, in markets like South Florida, they have a higher per mile rate there because of the demographics, because of the, there's a lot of international folks coming in with not a lot of history, may or may not have a US-based credit card. There's a lot of different aspects. New York City has California has very high. There's a lot of different determining factors on the per mile basis. So when you look at the difference between that Porsche and the Caravan, you're going to have to take into the fact of really kind of an unknown driver set. And then you have to take into account the cost of the vehicle and then whatever liability that wants to be set up by the supplier. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, it's where there's a lot of disruption. You know, we've all talked about the disruption in mobility. The real disruption is insurance because it's kind of, it's that mandatory thing and there isn't a lot of flexibility. Everybody's really trying to figure it out and present the best product to the consumer because ultimately they're the one paying for it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so how would you say that Cover Genius is really changing the industry in that respect and how consumers buy cars?
Absolutely. It really gets to the idea that it's really specific on that person. So again, I go back to the customer experience because all of the auto manufacturers, all of the dealerships, all of the third-party aggregators for car listings are all talking about how do we get a customer and keep them? How do we make them happy to where they want to come back? And a big piece of that is all the extra things that happen with it. So the financing, the insurance, and any kind of back-end products like warranties. So the true value prop that Cover Genius provides is the ability not only for someone to stay in that experience and not have to go out. So for our value prop, it's keeping them in your great experience and then also helping you realize and recognize revenue that you never really got to be a part of.
Because that person gets through the sales process as opposed to dropping out midway?
Absolutely. So, you know, we met with a DMS group 2 weeks ago, and they were talking about the number of dropouts that people have at the insurance process. Hey, we need you to go secure insurance. Give them all the VIN information, all the stuff we already have. Go give them all the bank information, the stuff we already have. And then have them fax back to us or email us proof of insurance before you can even leave. So, and I hope I'm hitting your question.
Yeah, absolutely.
For a consumer, not only do I just bought a car that I may or may not be at the payment I wanted because I really need a car, I really wanted it, but now when I go to get insurance, I have this added cost that's a completely separate conversation. And I have to have all these, you know, unless I'm doing it on my phone and there's a really slick app, which I've yet to see it, a really slick app that lets you pick insurance. I've got to understand to them, all right, well, I need $100,000 here, $300,000 here, and rental car coverage. Why wouldn't a dealer want it to be part of the process to where they turn their screen around and hand over the iPad, the same iPad that presented the warranty products, that presents them, hey, by the way, here's coverage that we can have generated on the spot.
What's interesting about that model is that, you know, it's the that insurance portion, whereas 30 years ago, right? That was part of the F&I process, right? That's why it was called F&I, the finance and insurance portion. You bought insurance at the time you bought your car. That eventually got, you know, weeded away to the point where now they don't really offer that insurance. But yet there are still car buyers that still need insurance at the time of transaction. And then in addition to buying insurance for the car that they're just getting, they have the flexibility to do all these other ride sharing type ownership models, and CoverGenius, for instance, CoverGenius.
Great example.
Yeah, great example, right? would help supply in that. You know, the one thing that you had mentioned in terms of, you know, that pay-per-mile model was that it's the vehicle telematics tracks the miles, and that's basically where you get your data from. How are you, I guess, specifically obtaining that telematics data? Are you plugging into the OBD? Is it over the air, or how
so
is that?
For us, we're not in the telematics piece. We're from the agent standpoint. So we would help facilitate. So if it's, let's say it's a fleet supplier that wants to put cars into a subscription platform, we would help them acquire the insurance. So, and then from there, you know, for us, we're not the insurance company. We're really the agent, if you will. A lot more than that, though, from a standpoint of being able to take your data and spit back customized information. So from to answer your question, for us, the telematics would have impact on the end cost. Ours isn't on the end. Truly on the end cost. We're the agent, the broker,
You're the platform.
We're the platform, absolutely. You know, I keep mentioning the API. It really does take the information that's provided from the platform and spits back out the right products. And over time, you start to see that, well, Dennis, you know, subscribes mainly to Dodge Caravans. So you stop seeing stuff.
You know me too well.
Well, you know, you look like a caravan. but no, I mean, you're talking about a painful ride. I just assumed on your drive in today. Sorry. Caravans are great.
Do they make caravans still? I don't think they do.
I think they're Pacificas now.
Yeah, I guess. Well,
if you go to Cabo and rent a car, you might get like a 1980 Dodge Caravan. Like I did.
Like I know it went for a while, like a Grand
Maybe it was
Caravan.
An Astrovan.
Astrovans were slick.
Astrovan.
That's a good pull. That's a very good
one of the
pull.
Vans I had growing up was a Toyota Previa.
Oh, you went deep.
Yeah, well, that's my Asian parents right there for you. So let me ask you this one last question here then.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, I wish we had more time to talk about more your background, but I'm very much intrigued with somebody who has been working in the automotive space for quite a while, and obviously you're very knowledgeable about how the automotive industry works, how the dealer relationship works, OEMs, all that good stuff. And you've now are in the insurance game now. Where do you see the innovation coming when it comes to combining insurance and automotive?
I think we're seeing it now. I think with the idea that, you know, Volvo had their subscription program, which, you know, in a sense, it's not necessarily a subscription, it's a short-term lease but it includes insurance. And I think one of the biggest things we're going to see is less and less stress around insurance, if we're smart. I think that's really where the innovation of it's going to be. It's no longer something that I have to go acquire. It's no longer something that, you know, you get past the point where it says insurance is included. It's you're covered. And I think you'll start to see that really the shift with the autonomous, because it'll no longer be about me, you know, requesting a ride and, you know, making sure that the car has insurance when I'm in it. It'll be around my personal effects, probably around any kind of added liability I want. But really, the innovation is going to be around customer-specific pieces that ebb and flow on demand. Mm-hmm. So it's really as I plan on using this car for 45 minutes that I'm covered. But it's not anything to where, you know, I have to mentally take note, am I covered? It's I use a car for 45 minutes, it's automatic. It's assumed. And then I think Covered Genius is really pushing the idea of customization based on the individual, and then based on, you know, what's fun about this is that you mentioned I've spent a lot of time in automotive, and when I went to insurance, I realized I didn't know how much I didn't know about insurance. Because there are so many different aspects to it that really it's, I've always assumed this, you know, year coverage and I have to renew. There really is the idea of how do you tailor products to an individual and what they want, and how does an individual start seeing products that make the most sense for them? Not just, hey, check what you want. It's, hey, we noticed you drive Dodge Grand Caravans and you do about 250 miles a week and you drive in this area that's extremely congested. And there's been this many accidents in this area, and that, you know, the average lawsuit is X. You really don't have to worry about it, that it gives me exactly the options for where I'm going to be based on my patterns, based on my information. That's really the shift. And that's a lot of what we're working on, is that idea that it takes into not only account the individual, but their environment.
Just two quick things. So, I mean, you said it very clearly, but just to confirm, so you're an agent, so you basically can go out, I'm assuming you work with several carriers to find the best product based on the criteria.
Yes, absolutely. So we work with numerous underwriters and carriers. We cut out a lot of the middle person, not middle man, not middle woman, but middle person.
Although you are the middle person, right?
That's the thing though, that right now in the current insurance experience, there's four or five people that all have their hands into the transaction. Mm-hmm. We get rid of, so there might be a lot of folks in the insurance world that aren't too keen on us, but we get rid of a lot of that. And what it does is it actually frees up revenue and it frees up cost. So not only can you provide a more affordable product, but the revenue from it is able to be better recognized by the people who are really involved with it, versus I introduce you to them, so I need 5%. And then I know this person, so they're going to need 5%, but then we'll make sure you have the right product. You get to compress the cost and then also help, like I mentioned, dealerships and these platforms recognize revenue that was never an opportunity to them.
Right. And then one other quick question, just about Cover Genius in general. So it sounds like mobility is one of your main focuses, but you offer insurance in other areas besides just for cars or drivers, correct?
Yes, absolutely. So there's multiple areas, but the big verticals that we're involved with are retail. So that would be offering products revolving that you would purchase off of Walmart.com or Wayfair. And then we have a segment for logistics in terms of transporting, which there's a lot of cool stuff around that that I had no idea about. And then travel. We have great partnerships with a lot of different companies like Booking.com, Rental Cover, RentalCars.com. So we are involved in the wide range of insurance. It's all about us incorporating, integrating within a platform to create that ideal experience that I kept referencing.
Okay, so really, really last question.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I guess there's so many things you talk about that it's like, wait a second, what about this? Because again, at the end of the day, this pay per mile model, I believe, will become a reality. I certainly am a fan of it because again, it does beg the service of use what you pay for, pay for what you use, right? But maybe just quickly, so if I'm a passenger in a car, for instance, I'm a passenger in an Uber car, do I need insurance as a passenger?
I think that's something that is definitely on the horizon. I believe that because, as with all insurance, there are limits. There are situations that aren't covered. So I definitely see that in the future. I would say, I mentioned earlier, around autonomous cars. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to have insurance based on the things that your personal effects. There may be situations, you know, from a personal experience, you know, my wife was involved in an accident with a rideshare company that won't be named. But she, you know, there was a limit on what was covered. She had her foot run over and there was a limit on what that would be covered. So, you know, there is an idea that you do need to have that supplemental piece to better protect yourself. And from the insurance standpoint, if there's the ability or the, you know, one case where somebody got hurt, it'll become mandatory.
Yeah. It's kind of like an umbrella policy for, you know, personal coverage. It's like, you know, but what holes can you plug depending on your tendencies?
I could see that if, you know, in the future when you go to sign up with a autonomous car company, let's say it's Waymo, whatever, as part of the sign up, there'll be different levels and packages that you can sign up for, and one will have
an easy check the box, quick, another way to monetize, right?
And you know what?
Kelly's favorite, check the box.
All that data will help you check that right box though.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, Austin, thank you very much for wrapping out with us and telling us more about the paper mile model. Certainly enlightening on my part and on your part too, Kel. Listeners, don't forget, I will include Austin and Cover Genius's information on the episode page, so please reference that. Stay tuned for another episode of Wisco Weekly. And on behalf of myself, Kelly, and Rudy, cheers, prost, l'chaim, kipis, nastravi, salut, kampai, mabruk, tutsins, gambe, yamas, nastarovie, to the customer experience.